May I read you what Yeats wrote about the to return to this thing of the arts as the vehicle of spiritual knowledge. I expect you know my friend Popol Jayakar.
I've heard of her.
She was responsible for the Indian exhibition here.
She's a very famous lady in India.
Very famous lady. And she said, after all, it wasn't the writers of the Vedas who produced the images of the gods of India. It was the craftsmen. It was the illiterate craftsmen who carved these wonderful likenesses of the gods in the temples, these sensuous, wonderful dancers, the Surya and his chariot at Karnak, well, everywhere, you know. These were the craftsmen who created these. The same is true, in a sense, is it not, of the face of the Buddha.
Right.
That is created by anonymous humanity.
They didn't sign their works.
They didn't sign their works.
I had a very interesting experience in this connection. There was a Tibetan artist who came to Britain, and he started fulfilling orders for British Buddhists. And I saw one of his works, and I saw that in the bottom right-hand corner he signed his name. And I thought to myself, the generation has already set in.
Absolutely. Mm. They didn't sign the works, the sculptors of Chartres didn't sign their works. The picture frames, when people began to paint, it was after the Renaissance, was it not? That the individual artist signed his work, not until then.
Signed their work.
Did they? Well, may I read
they
you
were
what
Greeks.
What Yeats said about this, about, the religion of art, if you like. And of course, Yeats was Blake's greatest disciple and first editor, actually.
Right.
He is taking on from what Blake said about prayer as the practice of art. This is a stage on. It's after the Pre-Raphaelites, art for art's sake, which I think we would neither of us accept that art was for art's sake.
No, not really.
Not
no.
at all.
Art for the sake of the archetypal, we might
for
say.
For the sake of the that which comes through it. Mm. Well, he didn't have much use for the church, although he has a very interesting essay somewhere on Christ, seen not against a background of history, but against a background of the archetypal, and his wonderful passage, of course, about Byzantium as the perfect city. But he said, it's over the page, I didn't try to copy it, that he was very religious but had no use for churches. And I invented an almost infallible church of poetic tradition, of a fardel of stories and of personages and of emotions inseparable from their first expression, passed on from generation to generation by poets and painters, with some help from philosophers and theologians. I wished for a world where I could discover this tradition perpetually, and not in pictures and in poems only, but in tiles round the chimney piece and in the hangings that kept out the draught. I had even created a dogma. Because those imaginary people are created out of the deepest instinct of man to be his measure and his norm, whatever I can imagine those mouths speaking may be the nearest I can go to truth. When I listened, they seemed always to speak of one thing only. They, their loves, every incident of their lives were steeped in the supernatural.
Mm.
It is out of the human consciousness itself that these forms emerge.
Yes, from the deeper or higher levels of human consciousness.
And of course, Prince Siddhartha, no one knows what he looked like. In fact, there were no depictions of the Lord Buddha till much later, were they?
All that we know of him, of his personal appearance from the Buddhist scriptures, suggests that he was tall, well built, healthy, and had deep blue eyes.
Really?
Nila, yes.
Deep blue eyes.
Deep blue eyes.
But the face of the Buddha, as we know it, as it is, as it were, the core of your religion, is not a likeness, it's not a photographic or pictorial representation of Prince Siddhartha in any sense.
There's no Turin shroud in Buddhism.
Exactly. Well, the Turin Shroud is another matter.
Yes, it is under investigation at this very moment,
not,
isn't it?
It's not a portrait.
Yeah, right.
I often wonder whether it wasn't a miracle laid down for the present time, because it could not have been decoded until the camera. It's a very strange thing, the Turin Shroud.
It's a very strange face, a very strange expression.
Very strange.
Yes.
Very impressive, you must admit.
Yes, impressive, yes. I, looking at it or looking at reproductions of it, I can't help wondering, you know, just looking at the face and the expression, whether I would really have liked to meet that man.
Which of us would? To confront.
Yes, yes, yes. It seems too sinister.